Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now just for you to answer your call and address your question or offer direction for the many times difficult, frustrating issues of real life. We invite your calls right now to 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. The full number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The most basic element of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the fact that he loves us, and the most basic verse, the most important verse. And that's what we mean when we use the word basic. We're not talking about elementary. We're not talking about, you know, learning stuff in first grade and then graduating on to something deeper. We're talking about the things that are of most importance. When Paul talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ, he says this: the things that have been, that were passed on to me, that were of most importance, those things I'm passing on to you. And those things were the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when we think of basic, we're thinking of those things that are of most importance to each and every one of us. And the single most important thing to each and every one of us is the love of God. Does he love me? Does he think about me? Does he care for me? Does he have a plan for me that is positive and good? And the gospel answers all of those questions affirmatively. Yes, indeed, God loves us. And the single most important verse in the Word of God that expresses that is the verse that we all know. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is an expression of God's love for the world. Mm-hmm. Well, in this particular verse, the world doesn't mean the planet that we live on or the world system. It is being used as a metonymy, saying that it's people. That's what this is all about. It's people. It's the inhabitants of the world. It's much like we would use the word Wall Street. If you're a New Yorker, you hear the word Wall Street all the time. If you're involved in the financial world, you hear the word Wall Street all the time. And when you hear it, you're not necessarily thinking of that street in Manhattan labeled Wall Street. You're thinking about the whole financial system that operates from there. The word Hollywood, we know it as a town, a little portion of Los Angeles, but when we say the word Hollywood, we're thinking about the whole film industry. We're thinking about movies and movie stars and glitz and glamour and all of that. And so here when John uses the word world, he's talking about all the people in the world. That's who he's referring to. Jesus loves us. God loves us. God loves you. God loves me. That's why many Bible scholars and teachers, you know, when teaching this, they will stop and say, for those of you listening, I want you to do this for me. I want you to make this verse personal, and I want you to put your name in that. For God so loved me. For God so loved Richard. For God so loved Bob Davis. Make it personal, because that's what he's really referring to here, the yous and the me's that inhabit planet Earth. And because he loved us, he sent Jesus so that we would not perish but have everlasting life. And then he goes on to say, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He didn't come to condemn us. We were already condemned. That condemnation came to us from dear old Adam, you know, our good buddy back in the garden.
Yeah. Way to go, Adam.
Yeah, who decided to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that brought forth sin, and in that sin brought forth death, and that's the condemnation. All of us come into this world under that judgment. That's already been made. That's already been determined. We have an opportunity to come out from underneath that. And that's through faith in Jesus Christ. And why do we have that opportunity? Because God so loved us that he sent Jesus.
Absolutely.
That's good news.
That is good news. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. The open lines are available right now at 844-32-BASIC, 844-322-2742. We'd love to address your question. If you have some frustrating issue that you're dealing with, a good opportunity to discuss it with us right now, 844-32-BASIC.
And again, this month we're talking about our favorite Bible passages that talk about the love of God. If you have a favorite passage that you would like to share and bring to the Basic Gospel program, we would love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, that toll-free number, 844-32-BASIC.
Well, thanks. We're going to go and talk to Brad, listening to us in O'Fallon, Missouri, on the Internet. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brad Lee.
Hi, everybody. I will really try to keep this clear, accurate, and brief, not much like I did the last time I called, but I listened to Saad and the dialogue between you and Saad, and several things were being talked about there, and so many people believe that some people do, not many, I don't know how many, but believe that the believer still has two natures. And, you know, I know that when the Bible says that the old man was crucified and buried, or, you know, those scriptures, that was that sin nature. And I think the subject this month of love is really wonderful, but so much of this thing about sin really gets in the way of people understanding that love and seeing that love because they're concentrated on sin. Would you all please discuss sins that were forgiven on the cross and sin after the cross? Because many people are just so focused on that, they really can't see the love of God because they see God in a distorted way of some big ogre up there going to wait to beat him with a spoon.
Well, we often, I think the reason we do that is because we look at God through the lens of sin, and that gives us that distorted view. But I think you raise a good question here, Brad, and a good point. You know, Romans 6 is pretty clear that the old man was crucified with Christ, and there's lots of different thoughts of when and how that took place. But the fact remains that those of us who are in Christ, that old man has been crucified. That old man that was controlled by sin, that was under the power of sin and death, that old man is dead and gone. He doesn't exist anymore. A new man has been raised to life and raised to walk in the newness of life. And that new man has a new identity. That new man has a new heart. That new man has the Spirit of God living in him. And that new man, as a result of that, can actually be fully human. Before, we couldn't be fully human. What God created man to be in Adam and Eve, that was distorted, that was perverted, that was changed, and so the lost world can't live up to their full humanness. Their full human nature can't flourish and be fully expressed in this world until they recognize what Christ accomplished for them at the cross, that they put aside that old man, put to death that old man, that Jesus did that, and raised up a new man. And this new man can be fully human and fully walk in dependence upon Jesus.
Absolutely. Real quick, in regards to that, that brings me up to some of my favorite scriptures on love, and that's Corinthians 13. And I remember talking to you a couple years ago at the conference that when the believer rests in Christ and that Sabbath rest talked about in Hebrews 4, that God, you know, walks in and through us and lives in and through us, God doing that in and through our new creation and new identity absolutely fulfills that love chapter because he's the one that's doing it, and that's a product of him living in and through us that comes out.
Yes, he's the source. He is love, and now that he's come to live inside of us, we're connected, we're attached to that source, and as we abide in the source, we're going to see his life of love flow through us. So, Brad, good point.
We love you guys. We'll talk to you later.
Hey, thank you. Nice to hear from you, as always.
As always, open lines, 844-32-BASIC.
Well, let's go to Agnes, listening to us on WMCA in New Jersey. Hi, Agnes.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you. How can we help you today?
I had a question about, I have a friend that's 44 years old, and she's fooling around with a 24-year-old man. And I'd like to know, how does God see that, and is that a blessing?
Is it a blessing for her?
Yes. Is it a blessing for her that she found someone young, and she's having this affair with him? Well, not an affair, they're seeing each other. And she's 44, so 20 years different.
Well, Agnes, I can't make a statement whether that's a blessing or whether that's a curse or anything like that. I don't know all the details, but on the surface, you step back and scratch your head a little bit and said that doesn't seem right. Right. You know, the big age difference and the fact that she's 20 plus years older than he is, and he's still in his 20s. Yeah, there's a lot of red flags that just that situation itself raises. So as her friend, Agnes, maybe you sit down with her and have a conversation and just ask her some questions. You know, what's really motivating you in this relationship? Is this a person that you truly love? Is this somebody that you've attached yourself to because you're afraid if you don't go after this one, you might not ever find love? What's really going on? And just have some great interaction there. Find out. I always say, let's lift up the hood and see what's going on underneath. And this is a great opportunity for you to see what's going on underneath as far as your friend is concerned.
Would you, this is where I'm in a dilemma. God has let things happen for a reason. And they met, obviously, and something happened that now they decided to take it to another level. So would you say it's a blessing? That's where I don't know. I mean, age is a number, like everyone says, and who you fall in love with or you have an attraction to is your preference. But I'm stuck on that age difference too, and I'm wondering, would God like honor this, or would it be a blessing, or is it, like you said, a curse? I'm not here to judge. I'm just trying to make some sense out of it in my head.
Well, Agnes, here's the story. Jesus Christ came into the world so that we could have everlasting life. He has given us His life. And it's on that life that we approach everything else, relationships, work, and anything that comes our way. So Jesus Christ is front and center, the heart and soul of all that we are and all that we do. That includes relationships. So for believers, what we want to find in a person to date is someone that is on that same page, that is a believer as well. So if we can get into a relationship around Jesus Christ, and we can let Him be the centerpiece of our friendship, and then if something else is going to grow and develop from that, that He's going to be the centerpiece of a romantic relationship, and then maybe eventually, if it leads to marriage, He will be the centerpiece of the marriage. But as far as the dating is concerned, it needs to start with Christ. Are the two believers in Jesus Christ? Because that's the glue that's going to hold it together and make it meaningful, make it mean something beyond just the average relationship. So that's where you have to start, Agnes. Does your friend know Jesus?
Well, 2 years ago, she was baptized, and she confirmed her faith in God. And that's why I'm so torn. I'm like, I can't understand it myself. I said, you're 44 years old. You have a son that's 25. and you just got baptized 2 years ago, you know, 2 years ago, and gave your soul to God, and now you're fooling around with a 24. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what I'm looking for from you. I just, it's on my mind.
Well, Agnes, I think one of the things you call and you lay out this situation, and I think everybody's hearing it is scratching their head saying, that's a little strange. You know, I would have questions too. So don't feel weird about your questions. Don't feel weird about your concerns there. Those aren't unusual. I think any human being looking at that situation would feel the same way. But I think we have to look beneath that surface. We have to look beyond just the situation itself. Apparently, I'm just going to throw out something. I bet your friend feels really lonely and isolated in this world. I bet that is something that's deep within her. And this is something that solves that problem of loneliness. And so sometimes that loneliness is so intense, it moves you to do things that, you know, just don't make a lot of sense on the surface. So that may be the very thing that's going on here. So you ask her a question. What about this sense of loneliness? Do you feel like this whole relationship is an answer to that deep loneliness that you might be experiencing? And then you have something to say to her.
All right.
Does that make sense? Okay.
Yes. I'm saying the same thing. There's got to be some kind of hurt that you reached out to a younger gentleman. If he was an older man, I can see, you know, you're 44. You like to settle down, and if there is a blessing from God, you take it and get married. Yes. 24, I don't get it, but thank you for your time. Yes, that makes sense. Yes, it does.
Well, you're welcome, Agnes. Let me do this. I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to send you several resources, a book that I wrote a number of years ago entitled Love Is. I think you will really enjoy that. And then I'm going to send you two other resources, a CD called Drive the Stake. It is a really detailed explanation of the gospel message. It is a wonderful evangelistic tool, something that you could put in your friend's hands and say, listen to this, and just confirm in your own heart that this is what you believed when you were baptized. And then a little pamphlet called Forgiveness, Doorway to Life. These are very foundational, and they need to be the heart and soul of any relationship that we enter into. So, Agnes, let me put you on hold. We'll get your information, and we'll send those resources to you. And thanks so much for calling the broadcast today. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you, and you have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thanks, Agnes. God bless.
Yeah, just a moment. I'm going to go talk to Mark in San Mateo, California. But Love Is joins the many other valuable resources that you'll find in our online store. You'll find the store, of course, at store.basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net. Also, please include Basic Gospel in your giving to support the work of Jesus Christ through this ministry. You'll find a support link at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or speak with Billy, our operator, at 844-41-BASIC. Either way is a great way to support this ministry, and we're here every day proclaiming the truth of God and His Word, and so many of you have had your lives changed and sent it a different direction, a new and positive direction by what you've heard through this broadcast. Of course, the bottom line is the Word of God and the truth of it. So we encourage you to be a part of the ongoing support of this ministry, because we need your help, and we need we would love other eager ears to hear the same truth that has made a difference in your life. So go to basicgospel.net. You'll find that support link there, or speak with Billy, our operator, at 844-41-BASIC.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. I opened up my Facebook page last week and was greeted by just one of the most encouraging messages, a friend named Sam. He's a college student, and he wrote to say, I listen to Basic Gospel every night. I listen to Andrew Farley as well, and thank you so much for bringing these programs. I'm so excited about the new covenant, about the grace of God, and I'm sharing it with my friends on the college campus. Well, that's what this ministry is all about, is reaching people like Sam, and we want to reach more Sams across this country and really around the world. And we need your help to do that. We need your help to get the word out this great word about Jesus Christ, his love, his grace, his mercy, it needs to get out, but also it needs to get into the lives of people.
Yes, right.
And we have seen every single day, every single week, every single month, when we get the word out, God gets it into the lives of people and change happens.
Yes,
so come be a part of that change. Be a part of God's solution to man's problems. Invest in the good news of Jesus Christ, the best investment you will ever make.
Absolutely. Once again, you'll find the support link at basicgospel.net or Billy, our operator, standing by at 844-41-BASIC.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go out to San Mateo, California, and talk to Mark listening to us on KDIA. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. It's wonderful to hear from you. And you're right with your stores and links. You are a great solution for a lot of problems that even we run into. You can't quite get our hands around.
Thank you.
Lately, I've been – it's great hearing you guys. It really is. I've been pounding my head the last few weeks here trying to figure out and remember if I can hear heaven being referenced prior to the New Testament other than the heavens.
Well, it's not mentioned a whole lot in the Old Testament. Of course, we see it in reference to God, the fact that he was creator of heavens and earth. We see that in Genesis.
Right.
We see, when they are wandering in the desert during the Exodus, bread was coming down from heaven to indicate God being the source of that. It talks about God's dwelling place being heaven. So we see some references like that, but not, it looks like, if you look at a Bible dictionary or concordance, it's really weighted heavily in the New Testament as far as the use of the word heaven and talk about heaven.
It's easy to hear, Christ is referenced in the Bible saying, you will dine with me today in heaven in my kingdom, in the afterlife, but in eternity, forever. But I was having a hard time grasping that because it's usually it's echoed both sides of the new and old. And I was really, other than the bones coming together in Daniel and Ezekiel and a couple of Psalms, trying to catch somewhere else. I really couldn't wrap my head around it.
Well, they had more of a sense of kingdom, I think, in the old covenant. And we see that talked about and really referenced in the gospel accounts, this announcement of a kingdom. It wasn't like any other kingdom here on planet Earth. It was a heavenly kingdom that was to rule and reign here. Jesus ushered that in. We're a part of that kingdom. And, when you look at the end of the story, Revelation 21 and 22, you see this new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, taking up residence here on earth to show the connection of heaven and earth. And our dwelling place is going to be in that new Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ is going to make his permanent dwelling place there as well. And that means that we will be with him forever and he will be with us forever. So a lot of times we get caught up in geography, different places, and we miss that the story is actually about being with a person. It's God being with us in the person of Christ here and now, Christ in us, our hope of glory. It's us being in the presence of Christ eternally. That's the good news of the gospel. And I think that's so important. When my dad died, I didn't think so much of him going to a place. I thought of him going to be with Jesus, absent from the body and present with the Lord. And I think that's what we really need to focus on, not the location, but the person. Mark, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it, my friend.
Yes, indeed. And thanks, everybody, for joining us. Here, believe, live. Those topics will be addressed straight from the Word of God as we begin the tour called the Hear It, Believe It, Live It Tour. That begins in Vacaville, California next month. As a matter of fact, March 7th is when the tour begins. And no matter where you are in your journey of grace, you'll leave this event being encouraged and eager to take the next step, allowing God to work in and through you. Your life can be different, and it starts with Hear, Believe, Live, the tour on March 7th, Vacaville, California. All the information available online at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.